our Lord and Heavenly Father, as we are about to get into your word this morning, I pray that everybody here would have hearts and minds that are attentive. Lord, I pray they would be open to your truth. I pray that not only you would help me to properly interpret and expound upon your word, but that you would help us all to apply it to our lives, that we would be more like your son Jesus. In his name, amen. Well, hey, if you got your Bibles here this morning with you, open them up to Matthew chapter 7. This particular portion of Scripture is part of what is known as Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, okay? Now, specifically, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 5 of Matthew 7 today in our message entitled, The Judge Will Be Judged. Now, I'm going to read these first five verses to you. They will also be on the screen. If you got your Bible and you want to look there, hey, go ahead and look. We begin in verse 1. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and paid no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite! First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Now, folks, the Sermon on the Mount is from Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. This is Jesus' teaching. And up to this point, in chapters 5 and 6, Jesus had been teaching about our relationship to God and our relationship to things. Well, now as he moves into chapter 7, he sort of changes course and he starts talking about our relationship to one another. And he begins by teaching about one of the most treacherous things there is in human nature. See, it's part of our sinful, fallen human nature to want to judge other people. We want to judge them. We want to find them guilty. And oh yeah, we want to condemn them. See, we've all got our tape measures and our yardsticks that we use to measure people and judge people. But Jesus is saying, hey, you better be careful or that yardstick's going to become a boomerang. In the same way you judge other people, you yourself are going to be judged. Look at verses 1 and 2 again. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it'll be measured to you. Like I said, that yardstick will become a boomerang, and it's going to come back in a dangerous and deadly way. Now, let me give you some reasons this morning why we, as fallen human beings, why we like to judge people, why we like to do it. The first reason is because of our own iniquity. Look at verse 3. Jesus says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? So the picture here is a guy with a big beam or a big log sticking out of his own eye. And he's like, oh, hey, let me help you get that little piece of sawdust out of here. Don't tell me Jesus didn't have a sense of humor, because he says things like this pretty often in his teaching. Now, who's the Lord talking to here? He's talking to hypocrites. Look at verse 5. You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Learn this lesson, beloved. It is the hypocritical who are hypercritical. Now, let me tell you what I mean. I want to ask you a question. Is there a speck of sawdust in my eye? Is there one person in here that can tell whether or not I got a speck of sawdust in my eye? You can't tell, can you? Because in order to find out, you'd have to come up here and get real close and inspect me real good, wouldn't you? See, if you see a speck in my eye, is because you had to make an extra special effort to see it. You had to get real close. You had to look real hard and inspect me super carefully. Now, wouldn't it be ridiculous for you to come up here in this pulpit with a big board sticking out of your eye talking to me about a little speck of dust in mine. Now, see, that's who our Lord is talking. That's what he's talking about. It's the hypocritical people who are hypercritical. And by the way, I don't know what you came to church looking for this morning, but I can promise you this. Whatever it is you came in here looking for, that's exactly what you're going to find. You will find what you're looking for. Let me give you an illustration of what I'm talking about. Let's say for a minute that you're considering buying a real big piece of land, okay, a few hundred acres. But you want to have the land surveyed because you want to know what's out there. And for the sake of this particular illustration, even though animals can't talk, well, except for Balaam's donkey, let's say that you hire a buzzard and you say, Mr. Buzzard, I want you to go out and you fly over to this piece of land and you check it out real good and you come back and report to me what you find. And the buzzard says, okay. So the buzzard, he goes up in the air over this piece of property. He's flying over the rolling green meadows. He's flying over the crystal clear sparkling streams that run through the land. He's flying over all the big trees, all the beautiful flowers. And then he comes back to give his report. You said, Mr. Buzzard, what'd you see? You know what he'd say? I saw a dead cow with maggots in it. That's what he'd be looking for, right? Friend, you're always going to find whatever it is you're looking for. It is the hypocrite who sees in others what's really in himself. All we see when we judge other people is a reflection of what's in our own hearts. I heard about this old grandmother who, she was real fanatical about keeping her house clean. So one day she got out her furniture polish and her dust rag. Man, she goes to work. She's spraying and dusting and polishing and wiping. And she gets all the way done. She goes back and goes, this stuff's still dusty. So, boy, she starts over and she's dusting and wiping and spraying and cleaning and polishing. No matter how much she sprayed and cleaned and polished and dusted, she said, everything's still dusty. I can't get the dust off of this stuff. Finally, somebody in her family took her glasses off. And they were covered in dust. So what this dear old lady was really seeing was just the dust that was on her. That's what she was seeing. Now, let's move over back to Romans 2 for a minute, to our scripture reading. Let me read you those first three verses again from that chapter, because they are a stern warning to those folks who like to judge people. You, therefore, have no excuse. You who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge the other, you're condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things. Now, we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere man, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think that you will escape God's judgment? Now, folks, in Romans chapter 1, Paul there, he's addressing the unbelievers, the pagans, the heathen, the ungodly, and all of their sins of the flesh. But in Romans chapter 2, he's addressing the religious man, the man who looks real good on the outside, but he commits sins of the spirit. See, it's like this. Oh, you come into church on Sunday, you look so nice. You're dressed so nice. You got your Bible, but you're happy to judge the thief, the prostitute, the murderer, the drug dealer, and the drunk. You wouldn't commit any of those sins, but your heart is a headquarters for hate. By the way, let me remind you of something. Jesus had a lot more condemnation for the Pharisees, for the priests and the religious rulers, than he ever had for thieves or prostitutes or anybody else who was down and out. You know, one of the greatest dangers in the modern church is that we become these religious egomaniacs strutting our way to hell, thinking we're too good to be judged while we go around judging everybody else. Oh, we don't murder or steal. But God sees our hearts. The sins of the flesh are obvious. The sins of the spirit are easier to hide, but God sees them. You're not going to fool him. You remember the story from Luke chapter 18 about the two men who went to the temple to pray? One was a Pharisee, big religious man, preacher man. The other one was a tax collector, or a publican, as the King James would call him. And let me tell you something. Back in biblical times, nobody was hated more by the Jews than a fellow Jew who worked for the Roman government as a tax collector. They saw these guys as the lowest forms of life on earth. They were traitors, they were sellouts, and everybody hated them. So here we see at the temple, we've got a Pharisee and we've got a tax collector. Jesus tells the story. The Pharisee prays. He stands up tall, proudly looks to heaven. He says, "Thank you, God, that I'm not like other men. I tithe, I fast, I go to all the worship services. I thank you most of all that I'm not like that tax collector." Then the tax collector prayed. He wouldn't even lift his eyes to heaven. He looked at the ground in shame. He beat his own chest. He said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." And you know what Jesus said happened? Jesus said, that tax collector went home justified. The Pharisee just went home. I'm going to tell you another reason we judge, not just because of our iniquity, but also because of our insecurity. Someone has said it like this: jealousy is the mud that envy throws at success. See, we're so insecure. And when we judge people by our standards, because if we can get them to look like us, to dress like us, to walk and talk like us, then we feel better about ourselves. In Greek mythology, there's this mythological god, that's with a little g, by the way, whose name was Poseidon. Now, Poseidon, one of his sons was a fellow named Procrustes. And if you remember anything from your high school mythology class, you might remember hearing about Procrustes and his iron bed. Now, what Procrustes did, he'd go out and hide. He was kind of a bandit. And when people would come by, he'd snatch them up, and he'd drag them back to his cave. And he had this iron bed in his cave, and that was how he judged people. That was his standard of measurement. He'd put folks on this iron bed, and if when he put them on that bed, they weren't long enough to perfectly fit it, you know what he did? He stretched them until they were long enough to fit that bed. Now, if the person got put on the bed and they were too long, you know what he did? He cut off parts of their legs. One way or another, he made those folks fit his bed just right. That was what he used to measure people. He had it in his mind that his bed was perfect and everybody had to be made to fit that bed. And you know, hopefully none of us are going around stretching people or chopping them up, but in a spiritual way, we do the same thing. We've got our own bed that suits us and we say, "Hey, if people aren't like me, they're no good. Everybody's got to be just like me." So you see, we judge other people because of our iniquity. We judge other people because of our insecurity. And number three, we judge people, quite frankly, because of our ignorance. We judge folks that we don't know anything about. That's the reason I'm so glad that God is the judge. You know, in 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul, he was having some problems. There was a group of people that wanted to judge him. And by the way, people love to judge preachers. Some folks think they're called by God to do that. Now, this is the kind of group of people that was trying to judge Paul. And you know what he said? Paul said, "You know, it's a small thing with me that you judge me. I don't even judge me. Let's wait till God comes. Let's wait till the Lord comes. And he's going to bring to light what's hidden in the darkness. He's going to expose the motives of men's hearts. At that time, each man will receive his praise from God. Now, what's he mean by that? Quite simply this. Paul's saying, look, I don't even know enough to judge myself. Now, how can you judge me when I can't even judge me? I mean, I'm on the inside looking out. You're on the outside looking in. How can you judge me? See, it's our ignorance that causes us to judge people. As I was preparing for this message, I ran across this story, and it ties in perfect with this. Judging people out of ignorance. There was this woman. She went to the airport to catch a flight. And, you know, the security lines are all long and stuff now, so you got to show up, you know, 6 days before your flight's going to leave. So she shows up early, and she gets everything taken care of, and she's sitting there in a chair. And, you know, in airports, they've got all these little shops and stores and stuff. And she goes, well, I still got some time before my flight leaves. I'm going to go over to this little shop, and I'm going to get myself a nice cup of tea and one of those little bags of cookies, and that'll help me pass the time. So she goes over there to the shop, you know, and she gets her tea and her cookies, and she comes back over, and she sits down, and she's sitting there having a little sip of her tea. She notices that the guy sitting right next to her, he reaches over and grabs her bag of cookies. He opens them up. He puts his big hand in there and gets one of her cookies out and starts eating it. And this woman thinks to herself, this guy's got a lot of nerve. What's he doing? He's eating my cookies. But she doesn't say anything. But she thinks, well, this guy's not going to intimidate me and get all my cookies. I paid for these doggone cookies. I'm eating them. So she kind of looks at him and sticks her hand in the bag and pulls the cookie out and starts eating it. Well, by this time, guy's got the first cookie gone. You know what he does? He puts his hand back in her bag of cookies and gets another cookie out and starts eating it. Now, by this point, this woman's embarrassed. She's ticked off. She doesn't know what to do. But this just goes on and on. She'll take a cookie out and eat it, and he'll reach in and get a cookie out and eat it. Finally, after this happening a bunch of times in a row, she's just getting madder and madder. Only one cookie left. The guy reaches in, takes the cookie, looks right at her, he breaks it in half. He eats half and gives her the other half. Now, by this point, she's just like, I cannot believe the gall of this man. I've never seen anybody with this kind of nerve. By that time, her flight's called, okay? So she's still pretty upset. She gathers all her stuff. She the ramp, and she gets onto the plane. She finally finds her seat. She sits down and kind of gets settled in. She's still really upset. So she thinks, well, I'm going to get in my purse and get a tissue. And when she opens her purse, there was her bag of cookies. See, none of us, folks, none of us are wise enough to judge another person. Even when we're certain that we have all the facts, we really don't. Thank God there is one good enough, one wise enough, and one loving enough to judge me and to judge you. And you know, this question is asked in the book of Genesis. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Well, the answer to that question is yes, he will. Romans chapter 14 and verse 4 says, who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. Now, I'm going to tell you another reason we judge. Because of our iniquity, because of our insecurity, because of our ignorance, and also because of our insensitivity. Everybody in here knows John 3:16. How many of you know John 3:17? That verse says, for God did not send his son into the world to judge the world, or depending on your translation, condemn the world, but that through him, the world might be saved. See, many times we're quick to judge and condemn somebody that God wants to save. And, you know, maybe we do know all the facts. Maybe they really do deserve to burn in hell. But I don't want them to go there. Do you? See, if you're really a born-again Christian, your heart should be yearning for that person to go to heaven. I cringe, folks, every time I hear somebody tell another person, you go to hell. You know, when you tell somebody to go to hell, it makes me believe that you may very well be headed there yourself. The Bible says, with the measure you use, so shall it be measured unto you. The yardstick will become a boomerang. And when that happens, you as the judge of another are going to be judged. See, our Lord, he's full of compassion. But because of our insecurity, we like to judge others. You remember the story in Luke chapter 19 about Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus, another Jewish tax collector, not a well-liked man. He's also a little bitty fellow, the Bible says. Now, there was a big crowd standing on the streets of Jericho on the day Jesus came through there. Now, not only was Zacchaeus a tax collector, he was also a thief. He would overcharge people in taxes, and he would take some of the money for himself. Anything above the regular taxes that he charged, he would keep. The guy was a thief. But yet when Jesus came to town, Zacchaeus said, man, I can't see over all these people. I'm going to climb up in this tree so I can see Jesus when he comes by. Now, when Jesus came by, remember what he said to Zacchaeus? He didn't say, you rotten little black-hearted son of the devil, get out of that tree. You ought to be ashamed of yourself, you thief. Jesus said, hey, Zac, come down out of that tree, buddy. Me and you are going to have dinner together tonight. That's a bit of a paraphrase, but that's what he said to him. Jesus did not judge him. He didn't condemn him. He loved him. He loved him. He had compassion on him. So, listen, what's our text telling us here? A couple of things. Number one, when we're tempted to judge, we need to use wise discrimination, and we need to avoid wicked condemnation. We got to know the difference between sawdust and logs, folks. God has given us some standards, and he teaches us that we are to choose what's right, and we're to refuse what's wrong. Our hearts are to be like his heart, filled with compassion, with mercy and forgiveness for those who need it. But if our hearts are filled with judgment and condemnation for other people, what's going to happen to us? God's going to judge us just like we judge others. James 2:13, listen to this verse. Judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. But look at the last part of the verse. That's the part I like. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And I got to tell you, when I stand before God, I want his mercy. I need his mercy. And I don't ever want to judge any of you, because if I don't show mercy to you folks, God's not going to show mercy to me. I want to see every man, every woman, and every child exactly the way God sees them. And he loves them all. In fact, we're told God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. God is a God of love. He does not rejoice in judgment. Now, his judgment is going to come. And I will plainly tell you that the hottest part of hell is reserved for the unmerciful. So we need to be careful before we look at somebody else and say, they're unworthy. They're unworthy. Many years ago, the famous artist Michelangelo, he was walking along the streets down in Florence, Italy. He was walking past this marble quarry. And off to the side, he saw this big old block of marble. And when he got a little closer, he could tell it had all kinds of flaws in it. It was not a good chunk of marble at all. In fact, it was ugly. It was misshapen. Grain in it was bad. The workers, they had just discarded it, threw it off to the side. It was just no good. They were throwing it out. He studied this thing for a minute. Then he went and said to the guys that worked there at the quarry, "I want that block of marble." They said, "No, sir, you don't want that piece of marble. That thing's a mess. It's no good." He said, "I'm telling you, I want that piece. I see an angel in that piece of marble, and I'm going to set him free." And folks, out of that ugly, misshapen, flawed piece of marble, Michelangelo created a beautiful sculpture simply titled The Angel. Out of that piece of marble, it was unworthy. That's what he made. Now, you know, sometimes we see people as unworthy. We think they're fit for nothing but to be discarded like that block of marble. But let me remind you of something. God doesn't love us for what we are. He loves us for what we can be. God doesn't change us so he can love us. He loves us so he can change us. And let me tell you something. Much like Michelangelo saw an angel in that piece of marble, I can tell each and every one of you with confidence, God sees a saint in you today. Put yourself in his hands. Let him create a beautiful work in your life. And never, never forget that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we pray that you would show us mercy and compassion, even when our sinful hearts tempt us to judge others unfairly and without mercy. Dear God, forgive us. Lord, we pray that you would take this condemnation, this judgmental attitude out of our hearts, that you would replace that with love and compassion and kindness and forgiveness. Lord, help us to see people the way you see them. Not necessarily for what they are, but for what they can be. Lord, I pray that we all here at Woodburn Bible Church would never be judgmental toward one another. I pray, Lord, that we would always seek to do your will above all things, even when it's unpopular. I pray that we would treat one another just like our own flesh and blood. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray these things. Amen. Thank you very much. God bless you all.